Well, hello and welcome to the Archaeology News Weekly. I am, as ever, your host, David Connolly. This news is brought to you in partnership between Stone Pages and the British Archaeological Jobs and Resources website. And if you want to see the sources for all the stories that have been collected and view details on each story, go to the Stone Pages website at news.stonepages.com. And the main headlines from around the world on the 16th of August 2009 are as follows. 5,000-year-old sites are found in Northern Ireland on a road scheme, and a massive Neolithic building is unearthed in Orkney. Neolithic stone axe heads have been discovered in Scotland and are one of only many of finds handed in as part of the treasure trove scheme. Another find handed in is a 5,000-year-old spear point found by a boy in Florida. Early humans used fire to engineer tools from stone. This is the conclusion from a South African study. And there's a surprise for a local community group as a prehistoric skeleton is found at a hill fort in Derbyshire. London's earliest timber structure is found over 4 metres down, and a unique Bronze Age burial is uncovered in Scotland. At the same time, we have a report on a memorial planned to another Bronze Age man, also in Scotland. Prehistoric Czech people had contact with Black Sea areas, and finally, also in the Czech Republic, early Bronze Age artifacts are discovered in the capital Prague. Finally, we also highlight the Sexy Archaeology competition for, yes, you guessed it, Sexy Archaeology teams. More on that at the end of the stories. Archaeologists have unearthed 8 prehistoric sites in Derry in Northern Ireland, some of them more than 5,000 years old. The exciting discoveries were made during work on the Maydown dual carriageway and include a pair of well-preserved 5,000-year-old Neolithic houses and 4,000-year-old Bronze Age burial places known as ring ditches. The discoveries also included Bronze Age pottery, flint tools and human bones. Archaeology contractors John Cronin and Associates found the ancient remains in recent works, working on behalf of Lagan Group and Road Services on the A2 Maydown to City of Derry Airport road scheme. The company has confirmed that 6 of the sites have already been fully excavated and recorded. 2 Neolithic houses have been excavated near Clog Hole Road and were found to be rectangular structures built of large upright timber posts and planks with substantial heavy roofs. The discovery of Neolithic houses on this scale is unusual. Not many examples have been excavated to date, and it's therefore an exciting discovery for this area of Northern Ireland. A large quantity of finds have been retrieved, including pottery, flint tools, and porcelain-like hand axe, all indicating the likely domestic use of the site. The other key find, an extensive ring ditch measuring almost 30 metres in diameter, has been excavated at Longfield. Ring ditches are Bronze Age burial sites where people dig out a circular ditch and then deposit the cremated remains of humans in pits inside the enclosed area. Pottery, burnt bone and flint implements have been recovered. Now detailed illustration, environmental analysis, scientific dating and of course the interpretation of the sites is now being undertaken. Staying with the Neolithic, we move up to the north of Scotland now, where experts have unearthed a Neolithic cathedral, a massive building of a kind never before seen in Britain, which has left them in awe of its scale and workmanship. At 25 metres long and 20 metres wide, it stands between 2 of Orkney's most famous Neolithic landmarks, the Ring of Brodgar and the Stones of Stenness. Even in an area as archaeologically rich as Orkney, it's hailed as the find of a lifetime. Nick Card from the Orkney Research Centre for Archaeology, who is leading the dig, said the building was effectively a prehistoric cathedral for the north of Scotland. There were hints at the end of last season that they had an enormous building, and now they are able to define it more. The shape and size of the building is now clearly visible, with the walls still standing to a height of more than 3 feet. Far taller, of course, when built. They're also 16 feet thick and surrounded by a cross-shaped inner sanctum where the 40-strong excavation team have found examples of art and furniture created from stone. Interestingly, the building was surrounded by a paved outer passage, and the archaeologists believe that this may have formed a labyrinth that would have led people through darkness to the chamber at the heart of the building. The team has also discovered that a standing stone split by a hole shaped like an hourglass was incorporated into the structure, something never before seen in a building from this period. The building may have served as some kind of temple, perhaps playing an important role on the journey from life to death in the beliefs of the people of that time. It was buried under a large natural mound at the tip of the Brodgar Peninsula, a huge archaeological site where last year the team unearthed a 4-metre-wide wall made from massive stone boulders. Dr. Colin Richards, a leading expert on the period, said that the building would have stood at the heart of Neolithic Orkney, and a structure of this nature would have been renowned right across the north of Scotland, and in fact it is unprecedented anywhere in Britain. The dig has been operating since 2003 and involves archaeologists from Orkney College, Aberdeen, Glasgow and Cardiff universities. Volunteers have also travelled from the United States, Italy, Sweden and Ireland to take part. So, see what you're missing. And in fact, you could get involved even more in Orkney. You could, of course, join one of the courses at Orkney College. If you want to see more about that, just go to Google, type in Orkney College and Archaeology. There you'll see the web page where you can actually sign up and become a student in this amazing landscape. A Neolithic stone axe head was amongst the rare artefacts unearthed during a busy year for Scottish finders. It forms part of Scotland's annual treasure trove. Items found by archaeologists and enthusiasts that have been handed over to the Crown Office. Other items include two late Bronze Age spearheads from Cadmuir Hill in the Scottish Borders. The Crown Office has a duty to receive all unclaimed, lost and abandoned items. The Treasure Trove panel decides where each item should be placed and how much money, if necessary, should be received by the finders as an ex gratia thank you. The items found between 2008 and March 2009 were included in the annual report of the Queen's and Lord Treasurer's Remembrancer. What an amazing name to have. Norman McFadgen, who said it had been an exceptionally busy year. The panel considered 177 cases last year, including a Neolithic stone axe head made from Cumbrian stone, but found in Lockerbie in Dumfries and Galloway. And the report said that the discovery of the axe head far from Cumbria indicated that there was a network of long-distance contacts in prehistoric societies. So you see just how important it is to report and record. And of course, being on the time team panel, the treasure trove panel, myself, I can tell you just how much we can learn from found items. That, and I will also be most upset if you don't hand it in. To reinforce this point, a bad pun is coming, I'm afraid, we have this story from the US where a boy finds and reports a 5,000-year-old spear, wait for it, point. Jordan Emmett, 8 years old, was walking past a street construction project near his Safety Harbour home in Florida, USA, when he saw something red sticking out the dirt. At first, his grandfather thought it was just a piece of plastic, but the red object turned out to be a 5,000-year-old spear point made by the semi-nomadic Middle Archaic people. The well-preserved tool was formed out of a reddish agatized coral and is a little over 2 inches in length. James Dwyer, curator of archaeology for the Safety Harbour Museum of Regional History, said that it was part of the Noonan cluster of projectile points. Jordan's discovery comes almost exactly 1 year after another city worker found a spear point between 6,000 and 8,000 years old at the Marshall Street Park across from Joyce Street, where he lived. Dwyer said that Jordan's spear point was used to hunt small game such as rabbits, deer and raccoons. "It's still sharp," said Jordan, tracing the side of the weapon with his finger. Careful there. So to the collectors in the US, try and be a bit like Jordan. He may only be 8, but he did us all a favour. Thanks, Jordan. Evidence that early modern humans living on the coast of the southern tip of Africa 72,000 years ago employed pyrotechnology, that's the controlled use of fire, to increase the quality and efficiency of their stone tool manufacturing process, is being reported in the latest issue of the journal Science. An international team of researchers deduce that this technology required a novel association between fire, its heat, and the structural changes in stone, with consequent flaking benefits. This technique may bridge a gap between the use of fire to cook food, which is around 800,000 years old, and the production of ceramics 10,000 years ago. Curtis Marine, project director and co-author of the paper, says that heat treatment technology begins with a genius moment when someone discovers that heating stone makes it easier to flake. This knowledge is then passed on, and in a way unique to humans, the technology is slowly ratcheted up in complexity as the control of the heating process, cooling and flaking grows in sophistication. This creates a long-chain technological process that the researchers explain requires a complex cognition and probably language to learn and to teach. To test their theory, Brown placed some of the silcrete stone beneath their fire pit one evening, building a hot fire on top of it. When he returned to dig the stone out the following day, the results were amazing. After heating, the silcrete stone became a deep red colour and then was easily flaked. Most importantly, it looked exactly like the silcrete from site PP5-6, which they were studying. Using heated silcrete, they were then able to produce realistic copies of the actual tools. Here is the beginning of fire and engineering, the origins of pyrotechnology and the bridge to more recent ceramic and metal technology. Much more of this long and actually very interesting article can be read on the Stone Pages website. A prehistoric skeleton has been unearthed by archaeologists during a dig at a Peak District beauty spot. The skeleton emerged as volunteers excavated the site of an ancient hill fort near Monsell Head in Derbyshire, England. The three-week excavation at the site, thought to date from the Iron Age between 700 BCE and 60 CE by the Longston Local History Group, was aimed at unearthing how and when the ramparts were erected. But members were most surprised by the unearthing of a prehistoric skeleton as they excavated in the rock-cut ditch outside the ramparts. Only the thigh bones and pelvis were intact, with the skull and ribcage in fragments. Anne Hall, Longston Local History Group project manager, said that they quickly stopped everything, and the archaeologists then spent a very careful afternoon excavating the body. The adult body appeared to have been thrown into the ditch, with rocks then thrown on top of it. The main rampart had been deliberately reduced, and much of the stone pushed into the rock-cut ditch. During this destruction, a human corpse had been unceremoniously thrown in as part of the filling of the ditch with the rampart debris. Children from Longston Primary School also made the unexpected discovery of hundreds of Mesolithic stone artefacts when they helped excavate test pits. Dr. Clive Waddington, Director of Archaeological Research Services Limited, who led the dig, said that the excavation had been tremendously rewarding, because it had supplied significant new information for understanding hill forts in the Peak District, and everyone actually had a great time as well. Anne Hall said that she was particularly pleased that so many locals had given their time and energy to remove over 2 metres of soil and rubble to help solve the mystery of how the fort and ditch had been constructed, with 78 volunteers and 160 schoolchildren helping out. Experts will use radiocarbon dating to establish the skeleton's age, sex and possible origins over the coming months. An analysis of the results will be presented at the Derbyshire Archaeology Day at the Pomegranate Theatre in Chesterfield in January the 16th, 2010. One for the diaries there. London's oldest timber structure has been unearthed by archaeologists from the Archaeology South East, part of Institute of Archaeology at UCL. It was found during the excavation of a prehistoric peat bog adjacent to Belmarsh Prison in Plumstead, Greenwich, in advance of the construction of a new prison building. Radiocarbon dating has shown that the structure is nearly 6,000 years old. The structure consisted of a timber platform or trackway found at a depth of 4.7 metres beneath 2 metres of peat adjacent to an ancient river channel. Previously, the oldest timber structure in Greater London was a timber trackway in Silvertown, which had been dated to between 3,340 and 2,910 BCE, which of course is about 700 years younger. Wetlands adjacent to the river, such as the Thames, were an important source of food for prehistoric people, and timber trackways and platforms made it easier for them to cross this boggy terrain. The peat bogs which developed at Plumstead provided ideal conditions to preserve organic materials, which in other environments would have rotted away. The peat not only preserved wood, but also other plant matter, down to microscopic pollen grains, which can inform us of the contemporary landscape at the time. Other notable finds from the archaeological excavation include an early Bronze Age alder log with unusually well-preserved tool marks made by a metal axe. This item has now been laser scanned at UCL's Department of Civil, Environmental and Geometric Engineering and is currently undergoing conservation treatment prior to its display in Greenwich Heritage Centre. The study of the samples will continue for the next couple of years as the archaeological team learned more about this intriguing structure and the environment in which it was built. Just highlights the point that weeks of excavation turn into years of research. Archaeologists in Perthshire in Scotland have unearthed a spectacular early Bronze Age grave containing a gold-banded dagger still wrapped in its 4,000-year-old sheath. The discovery was made by archaeologists from Glasgow and Aberdeen universities. In 2008, they found a huge sandstone slab weighing in at 4 tons and measuring 2 meters by 2 meters. But they had to wait until this year for it to be lifted. Last week, a crane was brought in and the 4,000-year-old grave was revealed at last. Beneath the capstone, archaeologists found a meticulously constructed high-status stone-lined kist burial containing traces of human remains which had been laid on a bed of quartz pebble and interwoven lattice of birch bark. With copper objects including a dagger with a leather scabbard, fragments of a wooden bow and at the head a wooden and leather container. While few traces survive of the body itself, buried in a primitive stone coffin found near the village of Forteviot, several clues suggest that the remains are those of a leader or warrior of tremendous importance. More astonishing, said the archaeologists, were the organic material where it was preserved within the sealed grave. Dr. Kenneth Brophy from the University of Glasgow said that the high quality of the preservation is of exceptional importance for understanding the centuries when the metals were first introduced into Scotland. He's co-director of the Strathairn Environs and Royal Forteviot project, which is involving experts also from the University of Aberdeen. Only 2 or 3 daggers from this period have ever been found in Scotland, but this find is even more unusual as it is incredibly rare to find some kind of animal skin wrapped around a dagger. The materials have been brought to Edinburgh for conservation and examination and are currently being kept in cold storage at the laboratory of the AOC Archaeology Group. Rated of national importance, the finds are likely to become part of the National Museums of Scotland's collection. The capstone was found to have a unique carving of a spiral and axe shape on the side facing into the burial, while the kist itself had several axes or other weapons carved into the stone at the end where the head of the occupant is likely to have been. The excavation is part of a long-term project to study the link between the emerging kingdom of medieval Scotland and its ancient prehistoric remains. This burial provides the strongest evidence of the presence of ancestral graves which may have been regarded as mythological heroes by the Picts who were also buried near Forteviot. It also goes to show that patience and care are what makes a find spectacular rather than just interesting. And this next story is also a sign of what people think of the past as the remarkable story of an early Bronze Age man unearthed on the Howe of Fife, also in Scotland, has been recalled at an event aimed at raising funds to give him a fitting 21st century memorial. Visitors were invited to enjoy a garden trail in the hamlet of Coaltown of Burnturk near Kingskettle in honour of a man whose elaborate burial 4,000 years ago is thought to be evidence of his standing in the community. Although the grave has now been dismantled and the artefacts are in the Museum of Scotland in Edinburgh, it's hoped to establish a memorial near Rameldry Farm where the historic find was made, comprising an inscribed kist stone and an archaeological display. It's also planned to recreate the clothing that he would have been wearing, including the Whitby jet buttons that adorned his garments. The burial kist was discovered in February 2000, and the skeleton and artefacts were removed during a 4-day excavation. The man, thought to be aged between 40 and 50, had been laid on his side with his head bent forward, arms tucked in, and knees brought up to his chest. A bronze dagger with a bronze or wooden handle, thought to have come from Europe, was found next to his head, and 6 ornately carved conical Whitby jet buttons were found around the waist region. They think it's a fitting tribute to this long-dead man, for although we may not know him, it shows continued respect for who he was. The finds archaeologists have uncovered in Miklovice and in the Pardubice region of the Czech Republic prove that the local prehistoric people had contacts with the Black Sea area in the 6th to 5th centuries BCE. Experts have uncovered remnants of settlements with finds including bone decorations and even a saddle of Scythian origin, which proves that the people were in contact with the remote Black Sea region situated over 1,000 kilometres away to the southeast. The artefacts would appear to here as a result of trade, or they could have been gifts, but it's surprising the archaeologists that the people had contacts across such a huge distance. Another rare find in the ancient burial ground is of the Unichi people from the early Bronze Age, about 2000 BCE. By the way, you are fully entitled to email us and tell me just how badly wrong I got that pronunciation. A total of 56 graves with 59 burials have been uncovered. Most of the deceased were buried in a crouched position, along with bronze jewels and weapons. Especially extraordinary are the finds of amber and a necklace with more than 400 coral beads. And staying in the Czech Republic, we now head to Prague. When workmen were appearing at Teranoska Street in Prague, archaeologists discovered artefacts from the early Bronze Age. The most interesting artefact is a ceramic mould of the lower part of a leg. Such a discovery is believed to be unique in the Czech Republic. Archaeologists have uncovered 14 pits in total. And in one of them, they found a skeleton that dates back to 1,400 years BC and more than a dozen undamaged items are currently being examined. It's possible that the other pits are also hiding more discoveries. The shoe on the leg cast has a filigree ornamental decoration, and according to the archaeologists, it provides information on how people dressed themselves at this time. Archaeologists will spend about another 20 days at the site. Well, I wish them, and I expect all of us, wish them all the best of luck. And finally, to sexy archaeology. With the season picking up, they're asking you and your fellow ditch digging buddies to send in pictures of your crew or team looking their sexiest. This is definitely a competition with its tongue firmly wedged in the cheek. So grab a camera, jump into the closest trench, and strike a pose. Thanks to popular demand, the competition deadline has been extended till the end of September. So now's your chance to show off your Indiana Jones stroke Lara Croft look. Get along to basically sexyarchaeology.org and look up in the top bar for the competition details. As I've said before, one thing you will not be seeing is me. And finally, secondly, of course, the new Past Horizons magazine is out, issue 9, with some amazing stories about Zulus, the looting of a Roman city in Bulgaria, and also the recording of frescoes also in Bulgaria. We report on the Time Team America series, which has just finished, and there is loads more to see and read. So get yourself along to the new, and I must say myself, rather stunning, Past Horizons magazine. You'll find that at www.pasthorizons.com/magazine. Can I remind you also that new archaeological and heritage employment opportunities can be found at Badger, www.bajr.org. And more can always be found at Stonepages, news.stonepages.com. So thank you once again for listening to Archaeology News Weekly. We hope you'll return again to us next week.